Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not, from age to age the same. And what follows? Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ephesians 2, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 2, the first 16 verses. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, it has pleased thee in this evening hour, by renewal on the fifth Lord's day of this newly begun year, that the doors of thy house may be opened. Then in this morning, then we have seen, we have witnessed the visible gospel and the sacrament of holy baptism, and we have heard the audible gospel. Then by renewal, then we commend those fathers and mothers unto thee, with their little children. May the sacrament be followed with much and unceasing prayer, and that the means may be blessed. When thou grantest it, then on the coming Lord's day, then the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then thou hast exhorted in thy word that we are called to examine ourselves, ah, Lord. To that end, come down with thy power and with thy spirit. Oh, in a week of examination, may it become reality for the unconverted, that they are unconverted indeed, without God in the world, and if not converted, without hope in eternity to come. Ah, Lord, work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. May it also be for our children and for our youth, that they may be given to examine themselves, whether by thy grace they have been given to remember their Creator in the days of thy youth. And Lord, thou knowest most perfectly who are thine, those that have been wrought upon, those that have been born again, those that have learned to love what thou lovest and to hate what thou hatest, a love for thee, for thy law, for thy house, for thy day, for thy word, and for thy people. And Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that are given to examine themselves oftentimes. They have learned that they have a deceitful and an evil heart. And then concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, to examine whether we have received that wedding garment that has been purchased and made by thee, also given by thee, and the application by thy Spirit, Lord, wilt thou so remember thy people? Wilt thou grant exercises in this week, begging for a token of thy favor, for a confirmation concerning that wedding garment? Lord, spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations. And then it concerns the knowledge of thy dear Son. Thou hast written in thy word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And, O Lord, may it truly be used for the strengthening of the faith of thy children, that they may truly do it in remembrance of thee. Wilt thou remember consistory and congregation? Bless the manifold labors in the church. May it be accompanied with much, with unceasing prayer. Wilt thou bless thy word in the midst of the family circles, and do bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember us as a congregation, and then we commend unto thee a father and mother with their children who may be present with us in this day, who have come from a distant congregation, have joined themselves to our congregation, and where they have settled, where they live in a neighboring province, with the desire and with the intent, when thou granteth it, that a church may be established. To that end, we commend our family circles unto thee. May there be much prayer than it is necessary, that thou art the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that goes before us. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established churches, by renewal we humbly ask thee that the labors of our General Synod of the past week, that it may be followed with thy blessing and with thy favor. Do uphold the persecuted church. Remember thy church in the country where there is war. Wilt thou remember all that people, and may the callings be used, that many may be converted, and that thy true people may be given to make their calling an election sure. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, the team, and the father together with his wife and children, when thou granteth it later in this year, in the summer months, to be sent to our mission field. And, our Lord, wilt thou be mindful of them, and wilt thou grant special tokens of thy favor. Wilt thou remember the manifold blessings in our midst, and then we commend unto thee a husband and wife who in the day of tomorrow hope to commemorate that thou hast kept them for 59 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Ah, may it please thee to grant a humble and broken heart. We commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember all our family circles, May love abound when it is not so. Wilt thou grant repentance, and what has been separated, bring it together according to thy word, according to thy holy institution. Lord, remember all our elderly ones. Remember our care home with those that may care for them. Another empty place has come. Wilt thou also uphold them in that way, and that in our care home, that the callings may be sanctified. Do remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones, and those who are called to go to the cemetery. We commend them all unto thee. Remember all under the doctor's care. In a special way, do bless the means, sanctify the callings. Remember the difficulties, the weariness of the body, continual pain, struggles with the mind. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Remember our poor nation. Remember the leaders federally. Remember provincially, the towns, the cities, also our town. May it please thee to pour out thy spirit. We have departed so far from thee. May that become our guilt. And wilt thou grant unto thy church that we may be given to repent of worldly and evil ways, that there may be that humiliation, a bowing under the authority of thy holy word. O Lord, do remember us and our children. Leave and forsake us not. Wilt thou work from generation to generation, that there may be exercise Hannahs, that there may be those Samuels in the church. Lord, in this evening hour, it is a new time. We are so dependent upon thee. May our eyes be then upon thee, and may we experience thy special help. Wilt thou grant a few words to speak according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Do then go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, those lawfully hindered in their dwellings. Do grant them also a blessing. Wilt thou grant them many Aarons and hers, and impress it upon all of our hearts that it is all undeserved, that it is all sinned away. Wilt thou grant something of those matters to be experienced, and then to experience thy loving kindness and thy mercy, possible through the meritorial work of thy dear Son. Lord, convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 185, the stanzas 1 through 5. In full assurance of thy grace, to thee my prayers ascend, and thy abounding love and truth, O God, salvation send. And what follows, Psalter 185, the first five stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ephesians 2, the verses 4, 5, and 6, where God's word and our text reads thus: "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Our text words speak of the exceeding riches of grace in Christ Jesus. With four thoughts: in the first place, the need for these riches. Secondly, the fountain of these riches. Thirdly, the enlivening through these riches. And fourthly, the exercises concerning these riches. The exceeding riches of grace in Christ Jesus. The need for these riches, because we read in verse 4 the word "but," and in verse 5, "even when we were dead in sins." Secondly, the fountain of these riches. "Who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." The enlivening through these riches hath quickened us together with Christ. And the exercises concerning these riches, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thus first, the need for these riches. Beloved congregation, was the desire, the intention of the Apostle Paul to bring the word of God to Ephesus on a second missionary journey? But we read in Acts 16 that the Spirit forbade him, and then he has received that vision of a Macedonian man, "Come over and help us." And to that end, he has went to Philippi, continued in a westerly and southerly direction, has come to Corinth, and then in his return to Jerusalem, then he has stopped at Ephesus, spent a short time with a few of that people, and the Lord willing, that he hoped to return. To that end, on the third missionary journey, then Paul has preached the word of God in that city. A congregation was established, and he has remained there approximately 3 years. And now with his epistle, then Paul is in Rome, his first imprisonment, and then he has sent three four pastoral epistles, namely the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Philippians, and the epistle to Philemon. And then he has written to the Corinthians when he was in the congregation of Ephesus in 1 Corinthians 16, the verses 8 and 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. What a blessing and what a privilege when there is much opening in the proclamation of God's holy word, law, and gospel, accompanied with unceasing prayer, and that it may be blessed, that the church may be gathered in, and that the true people of God, that they may be instructed, that they may be edified and comforted. Concerning the epistle to the Ephesians, then we can divide this epistle into parts, namely the first chapter through chapter 3, verse 21, then after an introduction, then the apostle is given to declare the way of salvation, how that lost, needy, and poor sinners, that they may be saved, that they may be justified through the perfect meritorial work of Jesus Christ, the state of his humiliation, and the state of his exaltation. And then in the last three chapters, then the apostle is given to speak more of sanctification with a closing word. Thus also this epistle, then there is much written concerning that one thing needful, and also what is necessary to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, where also in our chapter and in our text words, there is spoken of our great need to be delivered from our sins, the way to be delivered, and also the life of gratitude, what the church may be given to experience in an experiential way. And now our text words that begin about God, that is a work of free and sovereign grace. That word but, that refers to the former verses, the first three verses, but also to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, and then the natural man, his state and his condition is clearly laid out in those first three verses. And you hath he quickened, that is the wonder of grace, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And then that state that is declared in the following two verses, described in verse 2, specifically referring to the Gentiles that had not the oracles of God, and in verse 3, referring more to the Jewish people. And then Paul is given to write to the church, because the true child of God oftentimes is given to reflect on the past before the Lord has become too strong for them, how they have used their time, how they have been under providential callings, and how they have sat in church. And therefore in verse 2, where in times past ye walked according to the course of the world. Those are words that Paul has written to the church of Ephesus concerning the Gentiles that have not been under the external administration of the covenant of grace. Thus those Gentiles, they walked according to the course of the world. They have not been instructed, although they still had that innate knowledge. They have not had the gospel, law, and gospel preached unto them. And they have walked according to the course of this world. Then congregation, then you can understand that it is very sad when it must be said of us, such a blessed and privileged people, where we may have the truth of God's word, where it may be explained, howbeit with many shortcomings, and then still to walk according to the course of this world. Then we have heard in this morning from the form for holy baptism in the first prayer that there are three words mentioned. In the first place, the unbelieving world. And then there shall be those that say, but we cannot believe of ourselves, and that is correct. But then further, unrepentant world. That is a world that refuses to listen to God's word and to the admonishments that listen to the world and to the prince of darkness. But then you shall say, but the apostle has clearly written, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How must we now understand it concerning that deadness? Oh, an absolute truth when it concerns the salvation of our soul and the glory of God. But when we have fallen in our deep fall, then we have not become a block of wood or a stone, but we are still rational creatures. And therefore, Guy Debray in Article 14, when he has spoken of our deep fall, then he has said that those precious gifts which the Lord has given and endowed Adam and Eve with, we have lost. But there are still slight remnants and remains of those gifts that leaves us without excuse. Thus dead in sins and trespasses, concerning the saving of our soul and the glory of God, not only sick but dead, but we are still responsible creatures. And then what a solemn thing it is when it must be said of us as people under the word of God that we are unrepentant. And even further, then in that prayer, an obstinate Pharaoh who was only hardened his heart. But now verse 2, that speaks of the Gentiles and all when the Lord works. Then we become even more guilty than the Gentiles, because they read in Luke 12, verse 48, unto whom much is given, much shall be required, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That is the prince of darkness, that is the devil. Thus what a privilege it is to be in those tents of Jacob. Then we may be under the proclamation of the word, under the prayers of the church, his special protection. Think of the children of Israel, 1 Corinthians 10, and that they all passed through the sea. They were not all converted, because in verse 5, with many of them the Lord was not well pleased, but they all ate of that manna and of that water out of the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Thus many privileges, and also with that people, then the prince of darkness is restrained. Thus what a privilege to be in the tents of Jacob and the tabernacles of Israel. And then further, and that speaks of the world, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to realize that your case is serious, and that it is very discouraging, but it is not hopeless. Oh, oftentimes I think, what arguments, what text could I use that people, that they may be convinced, convicted, that he may be shaken awake, given to forsake the world, and to cry mightily unto the Lord. Ah, knowing, Paul has said, that he has not come with enticing words. And in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, as saith the Lord of hosts, Lord, open their eyes that they may see. I repeat it, the case is serious, the case is discouraging. Do you also think the same sometime, congregation? So often in church, so often read the Bible, so often prayed, and still unconverted, maybe. It's very sad when you may resemble verse 2, just like the Gentiles, walking according to the course of the world, prince of the air, children of disobedience, provoking that good-doing and holy God to anger. But we read in our text, but that is our only hope. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, Christ has said in Luke 7, the verses 31 and 32, wherein unto shall I liken this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marking place and calling, we have piped unto you, but ye have not danced. We have mourned, but you have not wept. But in our text, but God, and therefore forsake the world. Oh, cry mightily unto God for his mercy, which is possible through his dear son. Paul, in this epistle, then he has exhorted the congregation in Ephesians 5, verse 14, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ, I shall give thee light. But now in verse 3, then Paul, in verse 2, Paul has said ye. But now in verse 3, then he speaks of we. He has included himself. Then Paul is given to write to the congregation. Paul also had a past. Was not like the Gentiles, walking according to the counsel of the world. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now we read in Philippians 3 of the life of Paul. But it was before grace. Then Paul has learned that he was dead in sins and trespasses. And then he has written, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Then that third verse proves to us dead in sins and trespasses, but still moral creatures and still responsible, that we have not become a stone or a block of wood. Because then Paul was given to confess concerning the earthly things, then we are not so dead in the state of our nature. And then we can divide it up first, in times past, in the lust of our flesh. No, then we are not so dead concerning temptations and sin. Then how active we are. But now, then Paul comes closer to home, because then he has summed it up, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and congregation concerning, and we are called to be diligent concerning material things, the things of this world, then we are not so dead. But then we are very active. Oh, may all our excuses be taken away, and that we may become the guilty sinner. And for a guilty sinner, then what a wonder it becomes, and what a wonder it is that there is a but. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were Jew and Gentile, none excluded. And that's the work of the Spirit to teach His people to make a room for that but. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Service of preparation. Lord's Day 30. Question and answer 81. Whether we are truly sorrowful for our sins. Not once. The Lord has a people that oftentimes must smite himself upon the breast. But children of wrath, and that is brought home by the Spirit, because then they learn who God is, and that is the wonder of grace. That is our second thought. The fountain of these riches, but God. In our text, we have the origin and the cause of salvation. one we speak with, an Arminian, who denies concerning the salvation of our soul and the glory of God, that they tell us may be sick but not dead, then a good question is a crucial question. What is now the cause of man's salvation? Where does it originate? And then it is clear in the scriptures that the cause is with God, and that never begun eternity, but God, who was rich in mercy. And that is such a precious word for a people who have learned the first three verses, and also in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins. And that is not only in the beginning on that pathway, but that is learned more and more. And now for that people dead in sins and trespasses, oh, when the Lord works, then he draws by the cords of love. And then we receive different desires. Then we learn to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. Then the Spirit granteth that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance not to be repented of. And then that people that is so busy, oh, it is the work of the Spirit to make room for those precious words, but God, who was rich in mercy, and by the deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit, because that people, oh, on the way they are given to speak of mercy, but now by the deeper uncovering, dig deeper, Son of Man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Oh, in the beginning it can be so lively, busy with the things of the Lord, as it were, by day and by night, and then a sinner, as an improved sinner, as a reformed sinner, as a good sinner, no, to come above those first verses, but to be well pleasing in his holy sight. But now the Spirit shall learn that of self, that they are unable, insufficient, oh, that deadness that they are given to learn, to smite upon their breast, because we read in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, oh, the church learns that they can never save themselves. Oh, when it is well less sin, and to become a greater sinner before the pure justice of a righteous God. But now the wonder, and that is the wonder of grace. And that wonder may be declared at the table of the covenant. But God, nothing. In my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Christ I cling. And the church cometh not so fast there. Oh, what a work. And what a patient that the Spirit has. But now God, who was rich in mercy, that word mercy, that speaks of compassion, that speaks of pity. But God, who was rich in mercy, that he looked in pity, compassion upon fallen sons and daughters of Adam. But God, who was rich in mercy, that was in that never-ending eternity. And therefore Paul, in this epistle, in the first chapter, in the verses 4 through 11, there he has spoken of predestination, of that everlasting love. The Lord was never obligated to take one step outside of himself to save sinners. But God, who was rich in mercy, and that the true child of God is given to experience. Oh, those riches, we read of those riches in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And the apostle in chapter 3, verse 18, the least of the saints, but that he was given to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And now concerning those riches, in the first place, whom they come from that great and majestic God, a triune God, to whom they are given. And that is the chiefest of sinners. Oh, the church, they learn of those first verses. No, then they place not themselves above the heathen and the Gentiles. Ah, then they are given to confess, Lord, so many privileges, so many sermons, that my condemnation must be much heavier than those Gentiles. But God, who was rich in mercy, then the cost of those riches, nothing less but the suffering and death of his dear son. And then the usefulness of those riches. There are things in this world that only give a short satisfaction. But these unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, they are for the time and they are for eternity. The way that those riches are received by true saving faith, and the cost. How much do they cost, boys and girls? Grace. What is the cost? Isaiah 55 verse 1, without money and without price. Ah, then we would think that in this evening, that many sighs would be sent up to heaven, saying, Lord, may I now receive those riches. Why is there not more earnestness with the seeking of those riches? Dead in sins and trespasses, but now in our text, we hear of richer things. Mercy, that is compassion and pity. But we can see suffering, we can see the poor, where we feel it is our duty, our responsibility to help them in different ways. But that there is not that true love. But now the fountain, then the apostle is given to speak. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, there's a love has its origin in eternity. And the Council of Peace. What a love of the Father to be willing to give his only begotten Son for rebels, traitors, sinners, black sinners, the chiefest of sinners. What a love of the Son. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O my God. The love of the Spirit, that he is willing, based upon the meritorial work of Christ, otherwise it would never be possible, to work in the heart of sinners, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love, where he hath loved us, when we have an hour of preparation and we speak of the love of God concerning the table of the covenant, then it concerns a saving knowledge of his dear Son. Christ has said to his disciples in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent. In John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And now the necessity, learning the first verses, experience, but God, who was rich in mercy, that the sinner experiences the loving kindness of the Lord, the blessedness and sweetness of the service of the Lord. But now, how it is possible that a just and holy God showeth mercy to a sinner, that is further declared in our text. Let us first sing Psalter 277, the stanzas 3 through 6. He freely pardons all thy sins, and he is strong to save. He heals thy sickness, soothes thy pain, and ransoms from the grave. And what follows, 277, 3 through 6. Thank you. The exceeding riches of grace in Christ Jesus. The need for these riches, the fountain of these riches, and now the enlivening through these riches. We read in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That is that new birth. That is that supernatural work of the Spirit. In Ezekiel 37, then the prophet Ezekiel was given to see many that were dead in trespasses and sins, a large valley with bones, very dry and very many. And then the Lord has asked the prophet, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. And then he has preached to them. And they began to move. They were clothed with flesh. That does not mean congregation. That those dead bones, that they never tremble and that they never move, can be in that valley, that a great windstorm comes, and that those bones do indeed move. But they are still dead and dry. Can be in that valley when the Lord sends a large earthquake that the earth trembles, that those bones also tremble. But when the earthquake ceases, then those bones, they are as still, as dry, and dead as ever. Can happen with emotions, convictions, that we live not so easy. Can be with the knowledge of the truth, that we know the way of salvation, that with our mind we are given to understand it better, that we think that we are saved. And the Lord is free. The one a more gentle work, the other more powerful, but the true child of God shall learn from what a great depth, death, and need they are delivered from. They shall learn of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And they shall find their life in the Bible, a poor, a needy, great sinners that cannot save themselves, having to do with all the attributes of the Lord. And now the quickening, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What are we now to understand by those words, quickened together with Christ? Then in the first place, by the resurrection of Christ in John 14, verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. By the power of the resurrected Christ, then sinners are quickened. When we read that expression together with Christ, likewise as Christ has come out of the grave, so when sinners are quickened, it is a resurrection of the dead. Then everything becomes new. They learn things they have never seen before, experience matters, Reverend Hellenbrook speaks of four matters that are changed by irresistible grace. And then Paul has added, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by grace are ye saved. And what a lesson it is for the quickened sinner to learn that it is grace from the beginning to the end. And for a sinner to learn, if anything, even a sigh, had to be added, it would be eternally lost. Oh, are there such sinners in my midst? Exercise souls with their sins, that it has become new, those holy exercises concerning the Lord, concerning their sins, concerning death, and concerning eternity, and hope to become holier and holier, but have learned more of self, and that we remain a sinner. What a deadness and what a lukeness there can be. Oh, what a lesson for the child to learn. It is proclaimed at the table of the Lord's Supper, that broken bread and that poured out wine, that it is grace and grace alone. Has been explained that word, the five letters, God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, what a precious explanation of what grace is. And the Lord has a people that is given to glory in that grace. By grace are ye saved, but God, who was rich in mercy. Then our text words, then in verse 5, it speaks of Christ, and in verse 6, it speaks of Christ Jesus. And now the necessity, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the heart of sinners for that precious mediator. And the Lord has a people upon the earth by the further uncovering in a way of understanding. Oh, with their mind they know it, but they need it in the way of application. And then what a blessing it is when quickened sinners, when the gospel may be opened, and when that precious mediator, that precious Jesus, oh, how great is his mercy and his love, that mediator for a people that cannot save themselves, that mediator becomes so necessary, so suitable, so lovely, and so precious, that by true saving faith they may be given to see that he is altogether lovely, when they may be given to hear those precious invitations, and then they may be given to see such a fullness that he can also save me, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sins. And to that end, concerning the riches of his mercy and of his love wherewith he has loved us, then Christ has instituted the sacrament of the Holy Supper, that their faith may be strengthened, that he may reveal and show unto such his great mercy, his love, and what those riches have cost. And nothing less that his body was broken and his blood was shed. And to that end, pledges of the riches of his love. Our last thought, the exercises concerning these riches. And then we read in verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." All may be a soul when they read the 6th verse that think, but then it is not for me, because I do not dare to speak of such things. What are we now to understand by the 6th verse? In the first place, that speaks, because in the verse before speaks more of Christ's humiliation. In verse 6, it speaks of Christ's exaltation. And then it also speaks of the further leadings in the life of the children of God. But when we read, make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that speaks of the benefits which Christ Jesus has merited for his church, that there are times that he may be given to sit in those heavenly places and rejoice with unspeakable joy, that he may be given to say, "My cup runneth over," because for the true children of God, then eternal life, that begins here below. What an examples we have in the scriptures of people of God that were given to sit in heavenly places. Because in Colossians 3 verse 1, "If ye be then risen with Christ, seek the things above." And now the Lord has a people that have been quickened and by the work of the Holy Spirit are busy with eternal realities, that they need the favor of the Lord, and not only to experience his love, but to receive the pardoning of all their sins, because they learned that sin causes separation. Oh, what an example we have of people of God. Oh, think of a Jacob, even in Bethel, with that ladder between heaven and earth, heavenly places, in Peniel, where he has received that new name. Think of a Moses in Exodus 34, when he was on the mount and where the Lord has passed by. Oh, think of that Ruth in a spiritual way on that field of Boaz, when she was given, when invited to the table, when Boaz has handed that parched corn. Oh, what a special place. When we think of the disciples, Peter, John, and James, the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, think of those travelers to Emmaus when their hearts have begun to burn. Thus, when we speak of heavenly places, that speaks of a people, when they have to confess that so oftentimes so earthly and so carnally minded, but it is the work of grace, that there are those times that they may be heavenly minded, busy with the things of the Lord, exercised with the coming of his kingdom, the glory of his name, and the salvation of our soul. Thus verse 6, that speaks of gratitude, that they become more conformable to the image of his dear son. And we read in Timothy, vessels that they are polished, that they are use for the master. Thus then in our text words, then we read of a knowledge of our sin and a sorrow over our sin, but also a way of deliverance, and that is possible through Christ Jesus, the necessity that Savior is revealed and that he becomes so precious that he becomes altogether lovely and how that precious Savior then it has pleased them in the night that he was betrayed, that he may institute the Lord's Supper for a people that is for a poor, for a needy people, but that have tasted of the precious things of the Lord, and that have come experientially. They have come to an end. They have learned that by their works they can never be saved. Oh, and beginning to learn the value of that five-letter word grace, grace and grace alone, that have come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And then the Lord's table has been instituted, that Christ, that he may show something of those riches, what those riches have cost. Oh, the broken bread, the poured out wine, may the Lord remember his children. May the Lord grant those exercises. May there be examination according to our text words. And now for such a people, then Christ has declared, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Our Lord, may it please thee to grant unto each and every one of us an honest examination based according to thy holy word, where thy word excludes and where thy word includes. And, oh Lord, thou hast a people that are oftentimes many questions, many riddles, that they write bitter things against themselves, that they are not heavenly minded as they ought to be, grieved over their deadness, and sometime they know it no more. And now, Lord, it is the work of that precious Savior for a people that are excluded to include them, those special invitations in the Word of God. Lord, grant a prayer for one another. Watch over us in the week we have commenced, in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Wilt thou bless the instruction to our youth tomorrow evening, bless the house visitations, and bring us together for another preparatory service. Lord, add thy blessing. We may thank thee for another Lord's Day, a few words to speak. Wilt thou pardon everything that was amiss, but, O Lord, do bless it. Oh, remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes? Watch over us in the night. May we awake refreshed. Oh, may it also be in the night watches that there may be examination. May there be souls that may be lifted up into those heavenly places to sing thy praises in the night. Oh, it is only a little beginning. The fullness is laid away in eternity. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 378. Let us only sing the first stanza. Give thanks to God, for good is he. His grace abideth ever. To him all praise and glory be. His mercy faileth never. And what follows, 378, only the first stanza. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.